I'm Peter Gilmore, and you're listening to the Crest of the Wave podcast from RYA Northern Ireland. In this episode, I was lucky enough to catch up with the current Irish team racing champion and RYA and I team racing coach, Emily Hill. This format of sailing, of 3v3 boats, competing in 10-minute races, can certainly be chaotic at times. So it was great to have Emily on the podcast to get into the nitty-gritty aspects of it and explain why RYA Northern Ireland have recently launched a team racing program. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. So, Emily Hill, pleasure to have you on the podcast. How are things?
Very good, thank you. Yeah, just off the water actually, so it's been a busy day, but I'm glad to be back in Northern Ireland and making the most of the time. The good weather for once.
So. Yeah, so you say you're just off the water there. We're actually doing a bit of team racing as part of Project Thea, where one of the things in it is a team racing program. It's the first time we've done something like this. What was it like out there?
Oh, it was great. I mean, a lot of the kids were just having a blast. I think it's just a different way to approach racing. A lot of these guys are maybe 16, 17. They've done years of performance squads and they're reaching the end of that. And to be honest, I know I was the same. You're a bit done with fleet racing by the end. So I think it was actually great for them to see them get so excited about, oh gosh, this is different. This is short, sweet races with a high intensity, and the number of questions they were asking was great. I was really happy to see that they got so into it that they were asking, okay, well, why was this the case? Why does this work? So that's just showing you that they're excited about it and they want to know more.
It's interesting you talk about being done with fleet racing, because to be honest, that's exactly something which I felt. I did a fair bit of laser sailing up until the end of my youth days. And by the end of it, I was bored out of my skull, if I'm being totally honest. You spend so much time just slogging up wind, your legs are about to fall off, and you actually have very little sort of tactical engagement. Sometimes you're like miles away from any other boats. And yeah, I was just bored with sailing, full stop. But then when I came into university and started doing a whole load of team racing, I re-fell in love with the sport. Just sailing full stop. Is that something you found?
Oh, definitely. I think also, so there's no harm in admitting I'm quite short. So by the end of my years of fleet racing, I knew I was never going to go to the Olympics or go down that performance route because I just wasn't the right size. So whenever you went to uni and there was team racing, and to be honest, there is a little bit less of an emphasis on size and strength and more about boat handling, maybe a bit more tactics. It just suited me. It really did, and got me more enthusiastic about the sport again, made me want to keep sailing at university, which is great.
Because as part of the RYA Northern Ireland's new 5-year strategy, Navigating the Future, one of the key bits of that is reimagined pathways. Because to be honest, we've stuck our hands up and acknowledged the fact that there's more to youth pathways than just, say, lasers, toppers, and 29ers. There's so many brilliant double-handed boats out there. There's team racing is another thing. And how important do you feel it is to just offer alternative points of sailing, really?
Well, that's it. I think it's for people who maybe are the wrong size, or for example, and we say wrong size, there is no wrong size. It's just maybe fleet racing isn't for them. Team racing is so thrilling, and there's also a great social element to it. There's no point lying about it. So that gets people into the sport and says, you know, hold on, we do two races, then we come in and we chat about it. We chat the other teams and then we get out in the water again. You know, it's just a really nice atmosphere about it. And yes, there's an emphasis on sailing and racing, don't get me wrong. But making sure that people enjoy it is always the key thing that we need to be focusing on, and team racing's a way to get people enjoying sailing again.
And you talk about that it just sort of being like less emphasis on the physical aspects of it. You're a girl who, you know, you're not like the biggest in the world, but you've done loads of fleet racing in terms of toppers, 420s, 400s to name a few. But with the best one in the world, I'm sure there's probably been times where you've had the right rig set up, you've made the right tactical calls, but you've just been out-muscled. Is that frustrating?
It is, and I think also for something like the laser radial, that's one that I really tried for, and I just found I wasn't the right size, so it hurt my back, like it was hurting me, but I was like, no, it's the next stage, I need to go into this, but I wasn't suited to it, and that's fine. I went into the 420 for a bit, but at university I've just decided, no, this is too much. But with team racing, there's ways around that, you know. So I used to helm, I had a larger crew, which worked. Then whenever I went into crewing, I had a helm who was maybe a bit smaller, that worked, you know. So you can adjust because of that, and therefore use that to your advantage. So
yeah, and I suppose one of the things I haven't mentioned is you're the current Irish team racing champion among five others on your team, of course, but it kind of goes without saying that you love team racing. everyone loves winning.
Oh, definitely. And I think that team,
I can't really speak for that because I don't do a lot of it.
I think also like that team that I've sailed together for so long, Liam Glynn being one of them, who's ex-RYA, and they all just get on so well, and they just work together. And when you team race with a team for multiple years, not just a couple of years at uni, you keep it going. That rapport is so high, and you just bounce off each other. You know, okay, this is what Liam's thinking, I'm going to do this instead. You know, you can just see it was actually a joy to sail with them because they just work so well together.
Mm.
And they really deserve the win. So good for them. All of us.
Good for them. Good for you,
good
Emily.
For all of us.
In terms of like outside of the whole like team aspect of it, you talked about the relationships, the friendships, etc. There's obviously a load you learn tactically. What are the bits you enjoy most about team racing tactically?
Well, actually at university we had to do a theory session once a week for an hour and a half. We all met up on a Wednesday night.
Geez, you're really selling this, Emily.
Yeah, I know.
Hit the books, man.
But you know what? It was actually great because you would just have such in-depth conversations about things that had happened and use rule books in different ways to actually see, oh, actually, this is who was in the right, for example. But I think on the water, it is, at the end of the day, you can't win a race if you don't have the boat speed and the boat handling, which I think a lot of people assume, oh, team racing, you must hit each other. No, you don't, okay? That's the last case scenario, you end up in a situation where you need to do some team racing or end up getting into close calls. But actually having two people in the boat helps with that, because whenever I crew, I know that I can say to my helm, okay, we're losing, we need to do something, or here's an idea of what we could do. And having that person to bounce off opinions of as well is great, which a lot of people in lasers haven't experienced before university, I think it's safe to say. So then you can say, okay, this is a scenario we're in, I think we should do this, okay, great, this is the rule we're going to try and manipulate to our advantage, let's say.
And yeah, you mentioned there about actually the importance of boat handling and speed. I've discussed up to now about team racing be this new interesting format which is totally different to fleet racing, and while yes it is, it's not like you learn how to team race and it's completely useless to your fleet racing ability. There's so much you can pass on to but then become a better fleet racer.
Oh, definitely. And also within team racing, like if you're maybe coaching it for a day or you're sitting in a rib, you see it from a different perspective. You're like, oh gosh, there's why this, I can see that overlap from their perspective now, things like this. And then you can take that into a fleet race. I would definitely say my fleet racing has improved because of it. And also things like boat handling, because there is a focus on it, you know, in training. If you're behind, if you're in the six, you need to go fast. There's no doubt about it. So having that ability to switch on and get the boat handling.
I know plenty about being in the six.
We've all been there, unfortunately. But that side of it, it all interlinks with fleet racing. And if anything, just makes your fleet racing stronger. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of really enjoyed, as you mentioned earlier, it sort of being back to school again. Because you kind of feel like, while you may have sort of plateaued in your ability of fleet racing for a while in say the laser or whatever, there's kind of not much you can really kind of learn more about the actual format, if that makes sense. Like, I really enjoyed learning about, say, a starting strategy, how to set up a mark trap or something like that, which is all completely new to me. And yeah, I'm sure that's something you felt as well.
Oh, definitely. And also at the events, you have all these umpires who are actively flagging people, whether it's in your favour or not, but they're more than welcome to actually say, right, come up to us after the race and we'll have a quick discussion about why that is. I think that's a huge part in the learning process. They will talk to you and then you can say, okay, now I understand. And they'll openly admit it's hard being an umpire as well, so sometimes it's hard to get the call right. But having that open discussion about, oh, this is what we saw compared to what you thought you saw, opens a new realm of learning within sailing, I think.
The way you phrase that is actually really interesting, because when I first started team racing and I'd get annoyed about a call, which I felt was just blatantly wrong, I'd often sail over to the umpire after the race and be like, you like, we had room there at that mark. But that phrasing of a conversation or of a statement makes it not a conversation. So what I learned over time was it's better to say, like, do you think we had room there? And then by posing a question, it becomes a two-way conversation. So even outside of your whole sailing ability, I think it just improves your ability to speak with umpires and actually form those relationships.
Oh yeah, and I think a lot of people assume team racing, lots of shouting, it's all about shouting. It's not, okay? It doesn't have to be. Some of the best team racers are so calm and collected and just say protest and move on. But at the end of the day, we know that umpires, race officials, they're all volunteers and we can't go sailing without them. So it's within our own good to be very polite and also just show our good etiquette. Like, it's a great sport for that. And we don't need to get carried away with it, because that's never going to help things.
Outside of that Nationals win recently, just last year, what have been your main highlights in your team racing career?
Oh man, I've had some great ones. So I've sailed a lot for Team Scotland, which was great. We went to Lake Garda for the Laser Performance Collegiate Cup for 3 years in a row, which was superb. And with that Scottish team, we often went to IUSA whenever that was on.
It's the Irish University Sailing Association, for those who don't know.
Yes, they're team racing nationals. They always invited Scotland over so you could get to know people there. And I think past university, a lot of people stop, but that's not something I have managed to do yet. I just love it. It's just my type of sailing. So I've been doing a lot of alumni teams, and it's a great way to actually say, okay, we haven't seen each other in a while. Scottish Nationals for me are next weekend. We've organised a team. We're going to have a great time doing it, and sail past and hopefully get past that and through to Wilson again. That's the goal. We were at that last year and that was such a great experience to see teams over to West Kirby from America, Ireland, and have some high quality racing. We didn't make the finals, I'll happily admit that, but even just to watch it, we felt like we learned so much.
Yeah, well, you mentioned West Kirby there and watching it. For those who haven't been over to West Kirby, it is possibly the coolest place I have ever done sailing.
Yeah.
Because it's this little, it's almost like a big swimming pool where you do team racing in. So you can walk around the edge of the race course. And it's unlike any sailing I've done before in the sense that it's grandstand racing and your mates can be standing on the wall of this swimming pool, is the best way to describe it, and be cheering you on. I'm sure that's something you found cool.
Yeah, and
as
at
well.
The Wilson, they normally actually bring in grandstands to help to increase people's
viewing.
With
live commentary.
Live commentary, if you're sure, you can hear what's going on, and they've just got it nailed to a T. And it's such an excellent event and very well ran. But that ability to actually see the racing so close, I think, is something a lot of venues don't have, but that West Kirby has, and that makes a huge difference to us.
So that's over in England, and they're clearly a lot further down the pipeline than us. What do you feel the next steps are for Northern Ireland in terms of team racing, and how do you feel we're going to get there?
Well, I think it's good. I know that the Irish Team Racing Association has a new committee And a lot of those people are keen to get more events going, which is great. I know that Liam Glynn happens to be the Ulster representative for us. So to get more racing in, we need more events. Because obviously team racing, you don't own the boats, which is really important.
And that's actually brilliant for people trying to get into the sport, because if they turn up to an event and they actually don't need to own their own boat, they can learn sailing, get better at team racing without paying the money for a full boat.
Absolutely. And I think the way that the RWA, we're actually starting up a squad of young sailors who want to go to the ELMO, which is the school's big team racing event in Ireland. I think that's an excellent way to start. We're getting kids in at that age where they're maybe starting to lose interest in fleet racing, showing them, hey, look at this alternative, and hopefully that'll help them continue this on in through university. I think next steps wise, just keep encouraging it, keep the training going, which is what we're doing. And I think we always say we need more girls helming in team racing. It's always an area to improve in, but to actually see a squad starting in the first place is definitely the right way forward.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really exciting to think about that. And it's really exciting to think about this team racing squad we're putting together being coached by you, because you clearly have a lot of experience. Emily, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Peter. I've had a great time.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Crest of the Wave podcast featuring Emily Hill. If you're a sailor under 19 and you feel like team racing is for you, why not get involved with RYA Northern Ireland's team racing programme? You can do this by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or checking out the events section of the RYA NI website. Take care of yourself until you hear from me next on the Crest of the Wave podcast.